Blog Talk Radio.
Got to go. I got to go. It goes out that shit.
I see the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee, jubilee. It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee, jubilee. Jubilee, jubilee.
Your kind of singing cutting through the noise.
Jubilee, jubilee.
Oh, jubilee.
Jubilee.
You're the kind of joy that I need. Sun in the sky. Jubilee, jubilee. Oh, yeah.
My name is Yamsuf Arif. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. A show that you can have a relaxed, calm study. No arguments. Just relax and calm. With a critical analysis and assessment of our studies. An accurate study, no cross-contaminant. And a bird's eye view of those studies. So you can become immersed into your studies in order to get the best out of your studies. Not just study them superficially, but delving into them in the deep waters so you can understand the who, what, where, when, and how. As to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and his heritage, which is his nation. Although he loves many nations, he has a particular one. He has an affinity. Just like his wife, he even speaks in those terms, terms of endearment about his nation. Now, how would a Elohim speak in terms of endearment about a nation? Then he gets rid of him for a new lover. That would stand to reason now, would it? And they tell you about this new thing. But I would tell you about the new thing, which is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, which he says, I am forever, forever, and ever, ever, ever. So how did that change to something old? It's just your study and perception and your paradigm shift has been clouded and jundered by jundered eyes. Because if you talk wrong, you can only teach wrong and do wrong. It is our moral obligation and duty to do no less in these studies, to bring to you the Elohim. Clear, not cloudy, not jaundiced eyes, clear, and his people clear. Their shortcomings, they got them in a situation they find themselves in universally, and how they can rectify the situation. We lay it all out on the table. And you don't have to argue with us. You don't have to like anything we say. Just study for yourself. And make the right application. And if you have a problem with anything said, just go to the Elohim and talk to him because we didn't write it. These things were brought to us by his prophets. So let his footstep, which is his word, be your pathways. Always. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And perhaps you're wondering, as I'm speaking, I make reference to we. Yom Suf, who are the we you're making reference to? And that's a good, well, the we we're making reference to is Sister Abby of New York City, Brother Cartrell of New York City. What do I need to know about them? Or what do you need to know about them? You don't need to know about no stinky kumdala, no sorority they went to, what Ivy League college they went to. But what you need to know is, do they have wisdom and understanding? I say yes. What you need to know, do they trust in the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? And their brothers and sisters, and do they love themselves and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves? I think so. And why do I say that? Not simply by their lip service, but by their actions. Their actions are indicative of the restoration of this nation by their participation in it. Go to YahWillGather.us. You'll find out about us. All of the elders on the council, Sister Aviat, Brother Cartrell. And no, they're not getting paid any fancy dollars for to be on this show to help you in your studies. As a matter of fact, we're on a budget, meaning they don't get things. I don't get nothing either. You don't do it for money or special accolades or some fancy title. That's why we're simply Cartrell, Sasavia, and Yom Suf. We do it for a labor of love. Our love for the Elohim and our love for our still lost nation. That's why we do it. So that's why I know all I need to know about them. Praise the Most High. Let me bring them on and introduce them to you. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah, and may Yah continue to bless us all. Shalom.
Thank you, sisters. Shalom. Thank you very much. Now, Cartrell of New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing today?
We're doing okay, my brother. How you doing?
Nice to hear your voices.
Good to hear yours, brother.
We ain't getting paid for this?
You need to stop it. Hell, I'm going to give you something down the road. Hell, I'm going to say, I'm not paying you. The LAM go, I pray give all of us something because by virtue of helping the lost sheep of Israel.
There is a pay in the end of all this.
Exactly.
It's increasing our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding where we didn't have it before. And hopefully the people that's listening will gain some too. Because it ain't really hard. All you got to do is read and research. So showing how simple it is to acquire this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Praise Yah, country. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Well, Cartrell, so Savvy, I was quite stuck today. And Cartrell pointed out something to me in this next segment of study about Yah's companion. And when he pointed it out, I by Yah's companion, wisdom and understanding, you know, on the spiritual level. But I was stumped on the physical level. Who could this companion be? But so when Cartrell gave me the formula, the formula, I went back and placed the formula on it, and I came to the same conclusion. And when we get there, I'm going to share it with you in Zechariah chapter 13. All right, Cartrell and Sister Abby, y'all ready to go? I'm ready to go. We out. What say y'all?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let's keep sharpening each other, Cartrell. Let's keep Sister Avia, fellow students, let's keep sharpening one another. That's part of our job. In chapter 13, Zechariah, idolatry will be cut off. Cut off where? In our land. And it says it specifically. In that day, here's setting the foundation for that physical companion that I'm going to make reference to. In a day, a fountain shall be opened from the house of King David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the king and his citizenry. And why is this fountain being opened? For sin and uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says Yah of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land. What land? Our land. And they shall no longer be remembered in our land. I shall also cause the prophets, not the real prophets, the false prophets, who tell people what they want to hear, how they want to hear, tickle their fancy, and the unclean spirit to depart. Because these prophets got the unclean spirit to depart from the land.
So
they should come to say, yes.
Which you're reading is futuristic, right?
Futuristic. All this is futuristic. Not mine.
Mm-hmm. And where is that fountain coming from? Do you remember?
It's coming from the temple.
Okay, you got to mention that. Okay.
Coming from the midst of...
But it doesn't actually mention it.
Exactly. That fountain is coming from the midst of the temple. Oh, well, as a product, it's going to clean up everything in the waters, in our land. It's going to have trees for medicinal purposes. It's going to have trees for fruit purposes. You ain't got to buy them. They're for free. Just send your Esau there, or either matter what, walk with your Esau. Get some of those leaves and take in some of that water and get some of those fruits. Get you with all uncleansing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Cartier.
Do you think human beings could do something like that? Build something
not
like that?
No, my brother. It's not about to happen, Captain. And let me tell you what my Mexican-American friends are. Me not think so, amigo. Me not think so. No, my brother.
But you know, there's people planning to build that temple right now, as we speak.
Right. Okay. Yep. Well, if they do, which I doubt they ever will complete that task, the miraculous and the spiritual connotation of that temple, it would be a poor imitation. It'd be some water flowing through some false temple that they set up on their own, but that is not healing water. It's not cleaning up everything. It's just for show. Yah's temple is not for show. It's for substance. Okay? So it won't be for substance. It'll be for show.
So he's showing the impact that this temple is going to have.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Awesome impact.
And that day, there will be a spring open to the house of King David.
Mm-hmm.
And the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What else is he talking about?
It's coming from that temple. It's coming from that temple. And it's futuristic.
Okay. People should know.
They should know, Kadra, and praise Yah. And thank you for helping them with that clarification. We need to clarify these things for them. And it says these false idols and which also cause the false prophets and unclean spirit to depart from the land. They're going to get up out of there. It should come to pass that anyone still prophesying these false prophecies. Here's how our people are going to even feel about it, even the mother and the father, because they're sick of these lies. Then his father and mother who begot him, born him, would say to him, you shall not live because you're lying. Now, that's an add-on for me, because you have spoken lies in the name of the Elohim. Ain't nobody going to put up with no more lies, especially in regard to idolatry and falsehood when it comes to the Elohim. Ain't nobody going to tolerate that. Even if your old mom and daddy, they put you on the spot and made judgment call on you. So that's how serious we are about lying and lies and false prophecies. We will be. Right now, we just take everything in because we don't understand the Elohim. And his father and mother who begot him shall thirst him through when he pops. They going to put his own father and mother going, you know what thrust through means? Thrust through? When you thrust through somebody, they going to stick him. They going to stick him through. That's how serious we are about lies and liars and idolatry. How we will be. Right now, as I see it, we just go along with the flow because we don't understand the Elohim. We're trying to get you to understand. This is something serious, people, and futuristic. You may think it's horrendous, but if you've been living with lies, and we've been living with lies in this Western Hemisphere, this daughter of Babylon, and you have a just and righteous spirit, you get tired of it. Ain't nobody going to put up with it. You've got the opportunity to return back home. The LOM is back in love with you. You get everything is going along. The temple is flowing. Everything medicinal purposes at your hand, and you going to come here with some lies? Ain't nobody putting up with that anymore. And neither should we. You ought to get tired and sick and tired of liars and liars, especially when it comes to the LOM and in your personal life, be that as it may. It should be in that day that every prophet will be ashamed of his vision, his lies, when he prophesies. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, putting on the hits of humility, like John the Baptist. They will not wear a robe of coarse hair to deceive, a superficial act of humility. But he will say, anybody who has a propensity to do this, he will say, because anybody playing with him, I am no prophet. And he's going to tell you what he really is. All of us are. We are humble farmers. We are cattlemen. We are goatsmen. We are sheep herders. And trying to put for some special accolade, I'm just a farmer. The LOM got me back here. That's all I want to do. I'm farming. The LOM got me back here. I'm a sheep herder. The LOM got me back. I'm a cattleman. The LOM got me back. I grow grapes. And there's some huge grapes too. You gonna be humbly be who you were designed to be, and nothing more and nothing less. I'm a farmer. For a man taught me to keep cattle for my youth. And Romans said to him, to this farmer, because they were cutting up their arms trying to be prophets, they don't want to do that no more. They ain't a part of that no more. Just like them fellas was beating themselves with Elijah when the car trail up in the mountain, cutting themselves, slashing themselves. So he has a residual effect of him being a prophet, a false prophet. But they point these out to him. What are these wounds between your arms? Then he would answer, these with which I was wounded in the house of my friends when I was a crash dummy.
So
I ain't a part, I'm not a part of that, and I don't want to be a part of that. Go ahead, Cartrell.
He actually got those wounds from his friends, because
mm-hmm.
his friends wasn't standing up for his lives, yes, prophesying in Yah's name.
Mm-hmm.
So your friends got to rebuke you and straighten you out, but they got physical. Yeah. Your friend's going to show you up.
Hey, friend put a hurting on the country, telling them lies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They beat the brakes off of it, we call it. Your own friend's going to beat the brakes off of you. We're sick of that. We're sick of the idolatry, the lies, the false prophecies. We've been restored, redeemed, brought back. Things are working for us, and ain't nobody going to have none of that. Ain't nobody going to have no guy putting on a hit, think he's something special, lying something special, putting on false imageries by wearing coarse clothes as if he's humble. But he's saying all the wrong things and not what the LOM says. By virtue of his parents, it's going to cost him. And by virtue of his friend, it's going to cost him. And you're going to want to be who the Most High made you to be. If you're a farmer, you're going to be the best farmer you can be. And enjoy. Praise Yah. Now, the shepherd savior. Let's go back to what we said earlier. The Most High set the foundation for that compassion. We all know by virtue of our studies that wisdom and understanding was the Most High companion in the beginning. She even says, Yah had other companions, or should have. I know by way of King David he did, because King David's pathway, the Most High footstep was King David's pathway, and he was a companion to the LOM. As all the kings should have been, but they wasn't. The Most High make reference to that. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. People are supposed to be looking out for my sheep. Against the man who is my companion. The king's supposed to be the companion of the LOM as King David was. Because you can have the high priest. That's another component of the government. But the king had more sway because of the high priest simply by himself had more sway. Well, things wouldn't have turned out the way it did. The king has more sway as should be, but if he's a bad king, well, it's not going to work out too well for the people. So if he's a bad king, it's a disadvantage for the people. If he's a good king, it's an advantage. And you want this companion, these shepherds, these companions of the LM, if they walk with Yah, they study Yah's word every day, they apply Yah's word, they hate idolatry, they hate lies and lying, they don't want no part of it, they don't want their folks. King God said, I read the land of them, I can't stand them. If those kings were like that, we wouldn't find ourselves. Yeah, high priest, we hold a special significance for them in that temple, his realm, with the Most High. And so we should. But the king on a human level, we look up with high regard, or so we should, especially doing what the Elohim says. So when the Elohim turns to his shepherd, his companion, whom they should have been, just like King Dawid, and those shepherds that weren't like King Dawid, he got issues with them. Here's what the Elohim says. He says, against the man who is my companion, as the Elohim host, strike that shepherd, that king, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones, the people, us, against these kings that should be his companion, but are not his companion, because they don't let his footstep be their pathways. They don't walk as companion with him as they should, to be in conjunction. And he said, it should come to pass in all their land, our land, says the Elohim, in our land, two-thirds, and it should be cut off and die because of being scattered. One-third should be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire. And with this one-third of people, will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name. They won't call on these idolatries no more, like the 10 tribes, like the tribes of King Dawid's line. And he said, because they will call on me, not idolatry and iniquity and wickedness, I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. Each one will say, their Elohim is my Yah. Because they know that obviously they got a king that's doing the right thing, which is King Dawid. He is a companion of the Elohim, as all the kings should have been. And you got one futuristic guy somewhere down the line going to try to mislead people. And two-thirds of the result of this individual who should be a companion of the Elohim should be a king of the nation, following the Elohim in every respect and rejecting all idolatry. And as a result, two-thirds of the ain't going to be able to go through the fire. But the one to believe in a king like King Dawid, that was a true companion of the Elohim. Why was he a true companion of the Elohim? He didn't lean to his own understanding when it came to the Elohim. He was humble before the Elohim. He was humble before his fellow man. Yes, he made mistakes, but who don't? And when he failed, he got his behind back up and got with the program. And he let the Most High footstep be his pathway. So he deserved to be called a companion of the Elohim. Not always everybody can deserve that. Therefore, they fall right into mischief. It says that in the book of Proverbs. A fool falls, they fall right into mischief. King Dawid, when he brought to him about Bathsheba, he didn't blame it on Tom, Dick, and Harry. He said, yeah, I did that. And he corrected it. He paid on account, but he got right back. But that's why he said in the psalm, let no sin have dominion over me so to keep me separated from you. He didn't get immersed in it. He didn't double down on it. He got rid of it because he knew the importance of his companionship with Yah, because inadvertently it helps his people because they're looking to him from the human aspect. And if King Dawid can do this, I can do this too. Yes, he's a companion of the Elohim. So all of us should be just like our king. Praise Yah and bless his whole name. Cartrell, Sister Avia.
Praise Yah.
Thank you,
yes,
Cartrell. That blueprint.
That's like Yah cleaning up, going to clean up the land and clean up his sheep. if we return to him. So that's
right.
Like purification. And
right.
That's y'all's mission.
Because everybody going to be brought back, but everybody
yeah.
ain't going to make it back. They won't be able to go through the fire.
Right.
Yeah.
That,
all right.
That part, the fire part, is the purification, right? Like
fire.
Purifying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Praise y'all. Cadriel, you have the mic, brother.
Oh, yeah, this portion was short and very powerful. So much is said, so much is broken down. You said we should all be like King David, because King David was a man after Yah's own heart, which we read about all the time. And the Most High loved him because he was a man of God. He always, you know, turned to the Most High. He confessed his sins. He was open with the Most High. And unfortunately, most of our kings were not. And because of that fact, just like we wanted to be like King David, the people wanted to be like the evil kings too, which is why Yah is dealing with the king and the people, the little ones. But you can see the analysis that Yah makes, because Yah is our king, first and foremost, right? Yah is king of the universe, and he's king of the nation of Israel. So it's a co-kingship. The king that rules the heavens and the earth and Israel, and then he has his physical king, King David, and all the subsequent kings that came after him. And these kings have to be in line with him, which make them his companions, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The companions are off. What do you say? I got to bring out my sword.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of his companions who was off with him, he brought out his sword, starting with
mm-hmm.
King Saul.
Exactly.
King Saul lost his whole family in the battle. Yeah, I had to bring out his sword. So
yeah.
These shepherds that lead the flock of Yah, because a lot of people talk about we the lions of Judah, and we're not lions, we're sheep, and most
right.
of us are shepherds, and our king on earth is the shepherd, as the Most High describes him. And the fact that Yah said that he's going to take two-thirds, right? What's going to happen to the two-thirds? It's going to happen.
It's going
to
happen.
Cut off and die. But the third will be left in it. He said, I will bring the third part into the fire. What kind of fire is that? And he shows you the comparison.
Purify.
And we'll refine them as silver is refined. So you might have got through the first wave, but can you get to that fire? And the
Ooh.
Fire is doing what? The fire is testing you. He says, I will test them. Like gold is tested. So you hear people say, only one-third of Israel is going to make it. Two-thirds are going to be cut off. But that test for the last third, you better be pure in heart, and you better be on the right track, because that's not going to be an easy path.
No, it's not. And there's no game, people, that's something serious. And we need to take this very seriously. You may make
and
it back.
End,
yep.
It says that those who make it through the fire, they will call on my name. They won't be saying in the name of somebody else. And I will hear them, because he's showing hearing us now. And I will say, it is my people when we call on them. And they will say, Yah is my Elohim. So we have to straighten things out with Yah by going through the fire. We haven't done that yet. A lot of people think we already have, but we really haven't been tested by that fire.
No.
A lot of people got assumptions, but until you pass through that fire, you haven't made it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It is not of a physical connotation. It is of a spiritual connotation. Praise Yah. You can say it, you can say it and lie to yourselves and say, oh, we've been through the fire. We've been 403 years of counting. That's not the fire Yah is making reference to. Okay? He's making reference to a refining, cleaning, spiritual fire. You got to make it through that. Work on it, people. You can. You can make it if you try. Work on it. Work on yourselves. Praise Yah. And bless his holy name. We
will be tested right
now. Yeah. Tested now as we speak. Kyle, so we will be moving on after tomorrow to the book of Malachi. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. And that's after tomorrow. But Sister Abigail will be continuing on in the Proverbs. And they'll be rotating back to the Song of Solomon, the Psalms and Proverbs, because y'all need that every, y'all need that. We all need all this continually. We need everything. But we only got so many hands. We only got so many minutes. So we're going to give you some more Songs of Solomon, Proverbs, and Psalms. A rotation back. All right, Sister Avia, if you're ready, we're ready. Let me shut my mouth. We learned that by talking too much. And let you get started.
Never talking too much when you talk about Yah's word. Never.
Yeah, you better believe it. Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Proverbs 18. Through desire of man, having separated himself, seeketh into meddling all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself.
And I like that. I like that, yeah. It says, a fool has no delight in understanding. He don't want to understand anything. He don't want to express his own heart, his own feeling, his own ideology. He just want to express himself. He don't want wisdom. He just want to express himself. I like that.
And my book says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own opinion.
And that's true.
Yeah.
That's just what we say, brother. We've had many people come on the show revealing their own opinions. But we had very few revealing what Yah says. And they don't stick around long because they have no desire to get it. We're not offended. They have no desire to get it in any understanding. They only reveal themselves. They don't want to reveal the expression of their own hearts, not the LOMs, and that's not a good deal.
And it kind of goes along with the first verse when it says, mm-hmm. A man who isolates himself pursues selfishness and mm-hmm. defies all sound judgment.
They don't want to hear nobody.
Right.
That's why they don't want to hear understanding and wisdom. They just want to express themselves like this other fool. It's all about themselves.
They don't want to gather with the mission.
No. They don't want to hear that.
They think they're so smart. They know everything.
Yeah.
You can't tell them.
No. They know it all.
Mm-hmm. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also content. And with... I can't even see that. What is... ignominy?
Yeah.
Iniquity.
Right.
Ignominy, reproach?
Iniquity.
No, that's not iniquity. Let me spell it. I-G-N-O-M-I-N-Y.
Ignominy.
Okay, reproach. So the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the well spring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment.
Well, you know what it basically
says? Going on today.
Yeah, they show, you shouldn't show partiality to the wicked, or to overthrow the righteous in That's not a good signal you want to send. You should be able to never on the side of the wicked. Never be on the side of the wicked. Or to overthrow the righteous in judgment in every regard, too.
Yes.
So, verse 4 is like that stream that's coming from the temple.
Exactly.
It says, the words of a man's mouth are like deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is like a flowing brook. It seems like
mm-hmm.
healing always comes with the form of water. And
right.
Yah's comparing wisdom and how people speak
mm-hmm.
in terms of water.
Into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes.
That's what a fool calls for. A fool
mm-hmm.
is always, a fool lips always calls for contention. And his mouth calls for blows. That's what they look for, contention and fighting. You see them. You see us. You see us.
So,
we want to be uncommitted, and we call it, man, what they behind? Man, you better get them. Put them dupes up. That's what a fool's called for.
So that's how the false prophets get those wounds on their arms when they visit their friends.
Exactly.
It's coming out of his mouth is foolishness, and his mouth invites beating. What you saying? You're about to get beat down, brother.
Exactly.
Yes, indeed. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
You ain't got to do nothing to a fool. You ain't got to raise your hand against a fool. His mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. You ain't got to raise a hand against a fool.
So every time he speaks, he's doing damage to his soul.
The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly.
People that don't know the Elohim, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. That's what mine said. People like to hear them, and they go down to the innermost body. It hurts the person that hears it. And it even hurts the person that's saying, telling everybody, stay out of other folks' business. Talebearing. You know what talebearing is? Telling something anybody you to told to tell nobody. Or telling something that you wouldn't tell. Stay out of other folks' business. Where it don't concern you.
That sounds just the opposite of Facebook.
There's a lot of talebearers there.
Yeah.
And you can see
it's the engine for talebearing.
Right.
That's
and you can see the
so much trouble.
Right. And you can see the responses.
So you call talebearing just gossiping.
Yep.
Lies, spreading anything.
Mm-hmm.
He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteousness runneth into it and is safe. The richest man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Wealth don't last forever. You're going down worrying about wealth. Before the destruction, go ahead.
People think their money is their salvation. And the rich man's wealth is his strong city, like an unscalable wall in his own imagination.
Yes, indeed.
Ask Kanye West, could money protect him? Ask
R. Kelly. He's not the only one.
There's
a lot of them. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Concio.
No, go ahead.
Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility.
Two opposites, right? Like light and dark, good and bad. Before destruction, the heart of a man is proud, but before honor is humility. So humble people get honor. Proud people get destroyed.
And you know, Cartrell, this is Avi Osmond, read something that has been very, we see this all the time on this show. And we see about virtual people coming on this show and they raise their hand. They don't even study and they're ready to raise their hand. Sister Avi, go ahead and read that 13.
He that answers a matter before he hears, it is folly and shame unto him.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of shameful brothers and sisters come through our ranks while we're studying. They got the hand up in there and studied with us one session, but they got everything to say and no ears to listen. What a shame and what a folly.
That's why in matters you have to listen before you give an opinion.
Exactly.
When issues come up, you can't give an opinion before you hear the whole matter. All sides, both sides, everything's on the table. If you answer before that, then that's fully a shame on you.
Right, and especially if you're diving into the conversation and you're interrupting conversation, you're never getting the gist of what is said. That's shame and apology. Let everybody say what they said. Analyze what was said. Then give your opinion on it. That's wisdom and understanding. But you're cutting in and you're cutting folks out and you're crossing folks out. And you got an opinion, but you ain't heard this whole matter. Hear the whole matter, then make an opinion and present your opinion. Anything else, otherwise, shame and folly.
And some people can't police themselves. Which is why they invented the mute button.
I've utilized that a time or two.
But you know another problem with it too? People say they hear what you're saying, but they're not listening. They don't really hear you. They hear what they want to hear. That's another part of it.
You got to hear people out.
Mm-hmm. Spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?
I mean, your spirit, hold on a second. Your spirit under normal circumstances for a man and a woman that are connected with the Elohim, it can sustain them through their infirmities. But if that spirit is broken, it can't sustain you in your infirmities.
Uh-huh.
Praise God.
That's why, Job, we read the story of Job, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And did they bring him cheerful news or did they bring him dreadful news?
Dreadful.
They were trying to crush him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for him to bear, which is why it says a man's spirit will sustain him in sickness. You got to lift people's spirit up when they're sick. You can't condemn them when they're down, like Job's friends did.
Right.
So don't call them friends. They sure wasn't his friends.
You can say that again.
The heart of the prudent gets known, and the ear of the wise seeks known. A man's gifts make it room for him and bringeth him before great men.
So the Most High blesses everyone that he's created with a gift. You have to find out what it is and develop it with all your heart, soul, and might, and it will shine in the world.
He that is first in his own course seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him.
And see, that should be the situation. So like if I read to Sister Abigail about a matter, and I was like, well, Katria did this, and Katria did that, and Katria did that. But until a wise and understand person comes along, I may take that to heart. Well, Katria came to me first. It must be true. But until a wise and understanding person comes along and examines, you have to examine things. You can't take things on face value just because they're the first one to get to you. Examine the whole matter. We need to learn to examine the whole matter before we come to a conclusion. Who is just and who is unjust in any matter.
Yes, indeed. The lot causes contention to cease and the parties between the minds.
Because when you cast in lots of Savia, and there's nobody got control of the lots, whatever the lots may very well be. And when we pray and cast those lots, whatever is whatever. And so no entity, no party can say, oh man, you had up there, you had a thumb on the waist. No, you just had just as much opportunity for the lots to be cast your way than the lots to be cast my way. And at the end of the day, it's Yah who's asking the question of the lot casting. And so each mighty man can't go. You know Cottrell. He threw the lots. You know Yumsu. He brought the lots. But no matter who threw them or who bought them, you all conceded to this. And it is what it is. So go on about your business. You won. I lost. That's that on that. See, lots, lots eradicate all nonsense. Lot casting.
And to cast lots today? If you lose, somebody will probably go home and get that 38 caliber pistol and come back.
That's too big time, though.
Yeah, they'll shoot me for bringing Cottrell for throwing them and shoot the guy that won. He ain't lying. Where it should keep each other away from one another. You know, and let, you know, the Most High, as we read back in the past, the men cast a lot, but the Most High decision from the Most High. And if you knew that, you would have that attitude. But they don't know
that's
that.
That's truly letting the Most High be your God. Let the Most High decide.
Exactly. Ain't nobody got a thumb on the scales. The Most High make the decisions when you cast lots.
And whatever will be, will be.
Exactly.
A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. That's because, like, you talk with somebody, they start to howling and screaming and cursing. When you're cursing somebody, you're offending them. They don't want to hear nothing else, so you can't win them over.
Well, you know what?
Use a mild tone in talking.
Savia is to not offend your brothers and sisters.
True.
Not put yourself in a position. So because they're harder won than a strong city, and the contentiousness of it is like the bars of a camp. It keeps people out.
Bars
keep people out. Sometimes to keep people in if you used to be like me. But in most cases, it's to keep people out. It keeps people out of a constructive and positive relationship with one.
Right. It's like that old saying, say, sweeter to catch flies and more with honey or sugar, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And that being said, I agree with you, but it's best we not offend our brothers and sisters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And therein lies a problem in our communities. Because
mm-hmm.
once we offend it, it's like the bars of a fortified city.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get paid.
And we are brothers and sisters.
Right.
And we tend to get into head-butting matches with each other. And
right.
we feel offended. And it's so hard to win us back, which is why we don't like each other, which is why we can't make peace with each other. We like no other people on planet Earth because we are so close. We even call each
right.
other brother, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And Katria, I wish every awakened Hebrew Israelite brother and sister would truly understand this. There will be less bars to be got past on our castles. There will be less brother and sister hard to be won back if we only just do the right thing in regards to one another. You know, we make everything hard when everything is so simple.
That's because we lack humility.
True.
Yeah. Humility is too soft for us.
Yeah, true that.
A man's belly shall be satisfied with fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall be filled.
Well, you know what, Sister Abia and Brother Katria? When you're a wordsmith, you understand the value of words and the uses of those words, and you make the right application and uses of said words, they should satisfy. Your stomach should satisfy from the food of his or her mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Not simply in a physical manner, but in a spiritual manner. And we only learn to utilize and produce the right words that produce this, to fill our spiritual innate nature. And words, the contrary, always said, have a powerful effect. So because of such, be careful what you say, who you say it to, and how you say it too.
Yes.
Because it can have an effect on you too and not feel you as you thought you feel while you were cussing, fussing, and name calling folks. You're not feel by that. But what you feel by is building people up, not tearing them down. It satisfies your spiritualness, your stomach, your innateness, not simply in the physical level. But your words matter. And be careful of the words that you use because they have an effect upon you and others.
That what you're saying right there also go for the next verse right here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Hallelujah.
Yes, indeed.
So you can see examples. You can see examples of it in today's world. I'm sure Kanye West has contemplated. Maybe I would have been better off if I didn't say anything at all. Or Shaq and Charles Barkley for what they said. Maybe it would have been better if I didn't say anything at all.
Exactly.
But you eat the fruit of what you say.
Yeah, and you were required. Not were required to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley only said, I have no comment on the matter. LeBron James, I have no comment on the matter. Kanye should have said, look here, I don't talk about my personal business in the public.
Mm-hmm.
We talk too much. Want to be seen and heard, and you ain't got nothing to say. Like Jane Brown said, talking loud and saying nothing. And there was nothing you're saying ain't hurt nobody but you.
And also,
and nowadays,
like, what
it's recorded, and you can't take it back. And once you say it, especially if you're a celebrity, they got it on video.
Praise y'all.
That's right.
Praise y'all.
It just said, don't start talking unless you can finish the whole thing.
Exactly.
And
because
that's
last
where,
verse you read,
that's where some of them messed up when they was on there. They started running their mouth, and then they backtracked, or then they stopped, wouldn't even explain themselves.
Well, that last sentence, I believe you read, says it all. Those who love it will eat the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those negativity and wicked and poisonous words out there, you're gonna be the recipient of those fruits. You think just because you put it out there, and you going away from it 10, 20, 30 years or whatever, that you're not going to be recipient of those words. Those very words going to come back to you. So we all need to be very careful of the words that we put out there.
And I always bring up our father Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
He may be right in what you're saying. What do you say? Hey, we don't do that kind of thing. Whoever did that deserves to die. Why he say that?
What happened? His wife died.
His wife died.
Right, Rachel.
Why did she die?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she die?
So that's like the same thing. Reap what you sow. Your words you put out there come back at you.
You better believe it. And I like this. This is one of my favorites because I've been a recent recipient of this. And I'm going to read it because I've been a recent recipient. My Esau. I found favor. And how did I find favor? It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It didn't say no boy. It didn't say no transvestite. He who finds a wife, he didn't say a husband, and vice versa on the woman's side, finds and obtains favor. You obtain favor from the LOM. So I've been a recent recipient of that, and I need to appreciate it more. Praise y'all.
Praise y'all.
And why does John say to that when a man finds a wife?
Because.
Say that again, Brother Castro.
Why do we find favor?
Why does Yah find favor in a man who finds a wife?
Because that's the way it should be. That's the way it was designed. And Yah don't want man and a woman to be alone. So when Yah gives you that, he don't want you to be alone and all that woman. Because that's the way the design was meant to be. And as a result, you found favor. Yeah, you must be doing something right. That's my take on it, Cottrell. What's that, Cottrell?
When a man finds a wife, mm-hmm. it begins to bring stability to a community.
Exactly.
Because the Most High says be fruitful and multiply.
Exactly.
And in that community, the father and the mother are teaching the children in the path that they should go.
Exactly.
So when families are broken, man is not with the wife and the wife is not with the husband, then you get
right.
chaos in the street.
Yeah, that's the way that was designed to be. That's the way that was designed to be, too.
Okay. The poor uses entreaty, but the rich answers roughly.
Let me explain how that goes, Sister Abby. Yeah, if it may. Take, for instance, a poor guy ain't got nothing. Ain't got a pot to urinate in, nor a window to throw it out of. He's going to be much more humble in his approach or her approach to you. They're going to be humble in their entreaties. But on the other hand, you got some money and you ain't got no wisdom and understanding, you're going to answer, well, you need to get you a job. Hold on, wait just a minute. You don't know that man's life story, that woman's life story. So before we answer people roughly, based upon our position, what we've been through, we learn to answer people just like the poor person humbly entreats you to help them out. Because you don't know where they've been. You don't know what road they went down. But this is how rich people act, though. People that got a little education. People got two or three cars. People got money in the bank. But that all that ain't going to save you. We need to learn how to treat folk. Just because you got some, that don't make you just and right. You need to learn how to answer people and stop answering people roughly just because you got it like that. And then judging people because of the fact they're humble and offer you entreaties to help them, but you've judged them negatively. And you answer them roughly. You shouldn't answer people roughly. But yet those people should be humble in their approach to one. But I think the rich man or rich woman need to learn lessons here. And there's lessons to be learned and served here. Just because you got
especially
it like
for,
go ahead,
especially for universal white racial supremacy.
Well, that's
they have a, what they call a, they have a, what they call a border problem. And these people are marching from their countries poor, in need of help, and they come into America humbly asking America for help. And what does Governor of Texas do? He says, yeah, I'll help y'all. And he puts them on a bus and sends them to Vice President Kamala's house in T-shirts and shorts.
Right.
That's a harsh answer to somebody that's pleading for your help.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what rich people do.
That's what they do. That's their thing. But we shouldn't.
And they'll convince you that they're right in what they're doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Sister Abby, if I may, I like this in regards to Cartrell and you. That's why I'm friendly towards y'all. He who has friend must himself be friendly. You can't have friend and not be friendly. Hi, Cartrell. If I wasn't friendly toward Cartrell, he would have allowed his Esau to give me that Curry Gate recipe. But because I exercise the friendliness and toward you, Sister Avia, when I call you out the blue, Sister Avia, do you know the recipe on this and that? And we had some light talk, and I'm going to get out the way. But if I call y'all like I was a commander in chief, Cartrell, put your wife on the phone and tell her, give me that recipe. Sister Avia, I demand of you to give me that recipe. Stay away from your friends, bro. Or sister, show yourself friendly when you're talking to your friends. You ain't in charge. The friendship is in charge. By virtue of that, show yourself friendly if you got friends. That's that on that. Thank you, Sister Abby.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You about to, why you don't finish it?
Okay, well, if you twist my arm at it, I will. Now, that's friendly. But y'all say it, even in the realm of friendship, and I consider both of you this kind of person. And I think Cadrell has witnessed my shift friendship with him and some recent events. I think, Abby, you've known the friendship that I display. I give you a shirt off my back and I stick up for you. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's got to be a heck of a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I think both of you have witnessed that from me, that you must stick close to your friends. And the Most High has so much regard for the realm of friendship between us as brothers that he said, don't even get rid of your father's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Father or mother dies. But see, we don't understand that. Friendship is a continuum. Is your father's friend, you know, if Cottrell and I are friends, his sons and daughter could be assured of the fact if Cottrell get away, let me call Yum Suf. Because I'm pretty sure he would tell them like I tell my daughter, don't get rid of Cottrell, don't get rid of Sister Abby. I just go, they're on my level. Because some things on my level that I may be able to get to you because I'm going away from him, but they can give it to you because they're on my level. Friendship is a continuum. And even in the realm of friendship, there are brothers and sisters in this nation that sticks closer than a brother, as all be.
Yes, indeed. You just call out my name, and wherever I am.
I didn't get her start.
Okay.
Ooh. You got me started.
Brother Cartier, come on, Brother Cartier, man.
Want to see? Cartier, did he get kicked off? You know he want to see. He got a friend. Cartier?
Yes, sir. I'll take a call real quick. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought my singing ran them off.
I did too, because we were both trying to hit that note.
Maybe it's the reason I missed that. Anyway.
Oh, you stop it. You know, the last sentence.
No, it was for you and Brother Johnson letting you know that I love y'all as my friends and brothers. All I did was say,
you just called.
Let me sing to my brother.
I'm just helping you, so I don't
you
want to
call out my name. And you know wherever I am. That's all.
Hey, Sister Abby, I've been holding out on us.
For real.
Yeah.
But I love you too, brothers. And just like you said, you're my friend.
Praise y'all. We love you too. Godrell, any comments on that last verse? A friend sticking closer to a brother?
Friends, how many of us have them? Let's be friends. I don't know how many friends I've really got. We all need friends who
exactly.
are closer than brothers, because brothers are born for adversity, that's what it says. Brothers make you strong. You grow up with brothers, you're in the house all day, familiarity. Even though you're supposed to be loyal to your brother. But when
right.
you find somebody outside your immediate family that can be closer than a brother, that means you're almost like on the same wavelength, on the same page, on the same
exactly.
journey. And you
exactly.
understand each other beyond comprehension. So
exactly.
that's where friendship really comes in. When you have like an unconditional trust and bond.
Right.
With somebody that's not even part of your family. But
exactly.
those things are real. And when you have them, you should definitely cherish them.
They
won't come easy. People
they don't
try
come.
To be your friend for the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really wind up truly being your friends.
Exactly. Praise y'all, got
you. Praise
some God. Friends are there to stab you in your back because they want to take your place. Backstabbing.
Yes,
you ain't lying, brother. You ain't lying. Well, based upon that, we've had a good study session in the book of Zechariah. And also, in the book of Proverbs. And we will continue studying the knowledge of the Most High allows. We hope you take these things to heart. These studies are something serious. Should be delved over, immersed into your life, become an innate part of your nature, and let the Most High footstep be your pathway by virtue of it. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. So stab Yah, Brother Cottrell.
Seek Yah, obey Yah, praise Yah. Shalom and good night, fam.
And we do love you, fam. That's why we're here, to spread this word, spread this knowledge, to increase our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, not just for us, but for all our people. And we give thanks to the Most High. Love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Shalom and good night. Enjoy the song.
Yeah.